If you would, take your Bibles this morning, go with me to the book of Matthew, chapter number 8. Matthew, chapter number 8, and we'll begin reading in verse number 23. A little context for what we're going to read this morning. Jesus is really in the beginning of his earthly ministry here in Matthew, chapter number 8. He's found his disciples, and they're following him, and he's began to heal and work and do an amazing miracle-working business in his land, and God is blessing, and Jesus is helping and working and fulfilling the Old Testament to become the sacrifice for our sins. And he's right in the peak of things, and we see here in chapter number 8, beginning in verse 23, Jesus commanded his disciples to board a ship and cross to the other side. And the scripture says in verse 23, and when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. But he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? We come to this passage of Scripture, and we see the disciples in a terrible storm, and they're fearful. Jesus says something to them very fascinating to me. In verse 26, the Bible says, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? We talk about this often, but Jesus never asks questions because he doesn't have the answer. He asks questions because he wants to teach something. And the Lord Jesus in this passage of Scripture is going to teach the disciples that they can trust in Jesus even when their fear is great. And today I'd like to preach a message. Perhaps we'll title it this: Helping Christians with Their Fears. Been on my heart and in my mind to deal with the matter of fear lately. And I know that it's a fearful moment for lots of people. But I want to encourage you about something. If you're here today and you know Jesus Christ by faith as your Savior, what do we really have to fear? Last week we talked about Isaiah 41:10. The Bible says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And God has commanded us to live fearlessly. You know, we have fear, and God gave us fear. He gave us a fear nature, and the reason he gave it to us is to keep us from doing really, really silly things. I had some kids over at the house yesterday. They stopped by, and it was wonderful to have them. We had a great time. And in my shop building, there's a platform. It's probably 6 feet tall. And they climbed up the ladder and got on the platform. And then there's a table that's probably, I don't know, 3 feet off the ground or maybe not quite that tall. And they thought, my lands, this will be a lot of fun. You know what those kids did? They got up on top of the platform. They jumped off onto the table. And I thought, oh, my first reaction is fear. I was like, oh, no. And the reason you have that is because you don't want to get hurt. You don't want other people to get hurt. And God gave us a certain fear instinct so that we don't do really, really dumb things. And but God did not give us the spirit of fear. You see, the fear instinct is God-given. The spirit of fear is something that God did not give us. The Bible says God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so if you fear things that aren't happening or things that aren't right there right now that might hurt you, you have the spirit of fear. The fear that keeps you awake at night, the fear that causes you to wring your hands, the fear that disrupts your life and that causes you to be erratic or perhaps unkind. That's the spirit of fear, and God didn't give you that. God didn't give you that. You see, we have the great privilege of trusting in Jesus. He'll meet our needs. He'll protect us. And even when the worst of the worst comes along in life, and sometimes it does, God has promised even when your greatest fears come to pass, His grace will be sufficient. We come to this passage of Scripture, and I pray God will help you with your fear. God will help you with your fear. God wants us to be fearless as we trust in His faithfulness. The Bible says, "Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith?" And I believe the Lord wants us to be helped today as we consider fear in the lives of Christian people. Maybe God will give you victory today. Let's look at the setting of this great story. Verse 23, the Bible says, "When he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered." What's happening? It's a real storm. There's storm raging. It's a great tempest. The ship is covered with waves. It's a difficult moment. There's reason to fear. I don't know about you, but drowning doesn't sound fun to me at all. And the older I get, the more I don't want to be on a boat. I remember making fun of my mom when we were young because she hated to be out on boats. But the older I get, the more I think, I don't want to drown. And at any rate, it was a terrible moment. There was reason to fear because of the situation they were in, unless you began to pay attention to what's actually happening there and the fact that Jesus is present. There was a great tempest. The Bible says in verse number 25, Jesus was asleep. In verse 25, his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we perish." Jesus wakes up. When they wake him up and says this, "Why are you fearful, you of little faith?" They said, "We perish." Okay, can you imagine? They were so scared that they went and shook Jesus and woke him up and said, "Master, we perish. We perish. We're going to die." I can't help but remember, and I've told this story a few times. I'll tell it 100 times more, I'm sure. But Ruth and I were on our way on an airplane coming home from Peru one time from a missions trip. And, you know, we were in a missions group from our church at Bowling Springs Baptist Church. And, you know, when you travel on a missions trip, you buy the cheapest seats on the airplane. The cheapest seats on the airplane are in the very, very back of the airplane. And the back of the airplane is where the most turbulence is. The reason why first class is up in the front is because it rides better up there. And so in the back of the airplane is where the turbulence is. So we're in the back of the airplane, and we get into some great turbulence. We're on our way. We're coming from Peru back into Atlanta, and the air is rough, and the pilot had got on over there and said, "We're going to encounter some rough air. Everything's fine. Go ahead and buckle up and sit still. We'll be through it in just a little bit." And so, at any rate, the airplane started bouncing. And before you know it, it was bouncing pretty hard. We hit a few spots. It was really difficult. And you could tell across the airplane from Ruth and I, there was a little girl, and she was starting to get worked up. You could hear the mom. At first, you hear the mom going, "Shh, shh, 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 shh." And the little girl's going, "Well, the next thing you know," and we hit a big bump in the air. And at this, up until this point, I wasn't worried at all. It was no big deal. I've been in worse turbulence than this. We hit this rough spot, and that girl had kept it quiet as long as she possibly could and let out a blood-curdling scream. She screamed at the top of her lungs, "We're going to die!" And her mother's like, "Shh." The louder she shushed, the louder this girl screamed, "We're going to die!" The stewardess go there, and they try to calm her down, and everything got quiet for a minute, and next thing you know, we hit a bump in the air, and she screamed at the top of her lungs, "I don't want to die!" It was awful. It was awful. And I'd be lying to you if her screaming didn't unnerve me just a little bit. But when I see these disciples in this boat, and I can imagine I'd probably be the same way. I'd be scared. I'd be scared. Maybe too proud to cry out, but I'd be scared. And the truth of the matter is, we get in life And there's such uncertainty in life, and there's so many things, so many twists and turns, and so many things that we're facing, sickness and recovery and healing and financial things and the price of gasoline and war in foreign lands that affect us. We get to the place where in your spirit, whether you're willing to scream it or not, we're crying out, I don't want to die. This is going to be terrible. What will we do? And in response to the fear of the disciples, Jesus says, why are you fearful, oh you of little faith? Why are you fearful, oh you of little faith? You don't have to be afraid. You see, fear and faithlessness are directly connected. We're fearful when we forget or fail to remember that God is in control of everything. We are fearful when we forget or fail to acknowledge that Jesus loves us and is orchestrating the details and even difficulties of our lives to fulfill His great plan and give us and our family what's best. You see, fear and faithlessness go together. We have fear when we fail to faith God. And when we have faith in God, it just seems like, why should I worry? Why should I fear? Because Jesus is faithful. What is an evidence of great faith? For years and years I've heard, and I like the emphasis of doing great things for God. But for years and years I've heard faith expressed as being fearless to do big things for God. Great faith is being described as being willing to strike out and do big things for God. It takes great faith to go to the mission, and it does. It takes great faith to start a new building project, and it does. It takes great faith to preach boldly the gospel, and it does. The truth of the matter is, great faith is best defined as rest in your heart. Peace. Great faith is shown when we have peace in our hearts. You see, you can be doing great big things for God and scared to death and ulcers galore. And I would say that's not necessarily great faith. But God defines great faith, and God lets us know that great faith is having rest in our hearts when things are going the most difficult. Great faith, rest. Great faith, rest. Have you ever noticed, I was thinking about it, have you ever noticed that our imaginations seem to give us the greatest amount of fear? We dream up stuff to be afraid of. But let's just be honest with me. How many of you have ever dreamed up something to be afraid of? Would you raise your hand? You've dreamed up something. Me too. I remember as a child, my dreams and the things that I imagined were the things that caused me the greatest fear. And if I were to be honest, as an adult, one of the battles that I have in my mind is being afraid of things that I've imagined, things that haven't happened yet. Things that may never happen. Things that may not even be true. May God help us. Great faith is evidenced by peace and rest. You see, our troubles and trials and storms have a purpose. We go back in our mind's eye to these disciples on a ship with Jesus in a storm. Was Jesus able to make that trip smooth sailing? Yes. There was a place in the Scripture where the disciples were in a storm. I don't know if it's in one of the synoptics of this story or not, but there's a place in the Scripture where the disciples are in a storm, and Jesus calms the sea, and the Bible says immediately they were at shore. I'll just tell you, God has the ability not only to keep you from having to go be in a storm, He has the ability to keep you out of the sea and ship and everything altogether. But it's in the storms of life where we learn the most about God. And it's in the storms of life that we learn to trust God. It's in the storms of life. Storms have a purpose. Did Jesus put His disciples on the ship so He could watch them scream? No. Was Jesus in the haunted boat business? No. He wasn't trying to scare people for fun. He had a purpose. And it's in the storms of life that we learn so much about our God. In this passage of Scripture, we define truths designed to strengthen your faith. Some answers for fear in the lives of God's people. Number one, have faith in the presence of God. What do we need to do? We need to have faith in the presence of God. When Jesus commanded us in Isaiah 41:10 to fear thou not, what was his first reason? He says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. And we need to learn to have faith in the presence of Jesus Christ. In our text today, I want you to look at it with me in verse 23. The Bible says, when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. First of all, you see this. What happens? He, Jesus, was entered into the ship. What happened next? His disciples followed him. Folks, I want you to know something. Jesus led them into the storm. If life gives you a storm and you're following Jesus, you can rest in the presence of God and you can rest in the leadership of God. Did these guys have anything to fear? Did they have anything to fear when they were following Christ? The answer is none. Jesus goes in the boat and they follow him. The Bible didn't put that in there for no reason at all. If you're following Jesus, you have no reason to fear. I'll just tell you something. If you're trusting in Christ, if you're believing him and to the best of your ability, I'm not saying you're going to have to be perfect every time. And I'm not saying that you need to be miserable when you fail because God will forgive you for your shortcomings. But I am saying this. If God has put in your heart things you know you're doing wrong and you are unwilling to follow the Lord with that issue, you are not following Jesus. If you're not willing to be submissive to Christ, you are not following Jesus. If you are not following Jesus, disregard anything I have to tell you about fear because you have reason to fear because you may be and probably are ruining your life and the lives of the people around you. But I'll just have you know something. If you're following Jesus and life gets rocky, you have no reason to fear. None. If you're following Jesus, you have no reason to fear because in the midst of the storms of life, if God has led you there, he'll be faithful and true. You can trust him. Have faith in the presence of the storm. Jesus led them into the storm. Do you see that? He just led them right into it. He was entered into a ship and his disciples followed him. Not only did Jesus lead them in the storm, but I want you to look at a second thought here from this same passage of Scripture. Jesus was with them in the storm. Who was in the boat when the winds and waves were raging? Jesus was. Here's the picture I want to see. I can see the boat on the sea. I see the disciples concerned. I imagine they've got buckets trying to get the water out of the boat. The Bible says that the boat is full of water. I can see them paling. I can see them working. I can see them fretting and fearing. In the storm on the sea, I see the lightning flash and the waves. But also, I want you to take a look. Just imagine over in the boat on that row of chairs, that's where Jesus is sleeping. I want you to look at his face. I want you to look at his body. What happens when the storm rocks the boat? Jesus is rocking there too. What happens when the lightning flashes? It flashes on his face. What happens when the thunder crashes? It crashes to where he can hear it too. And the picture that I want you to see is God is with you in the storm. He is touched with the feelings of your infirmities. He is not blind. He is not sheltered from what you are suffering. He is not numb or cold to the things that burden you and scare you. He knows every detail that you're going through. God is with you. He is with you. And when you begin to think about the weight of pressure and the fears of life and the concerns of things coming and going, just remember something. As you are following Christ, Christ is with you and he will help you and he will strengthen you and he will protect you. And the things you're dealing with are no secret to God and they're not hidden from him. He is actually experiencing them with you. How can I rest in such a fearful moment? Have faith in the presence of God. He's with you. Number two, have faith in the power of God. Have faith in the power of God. Oh, I love this. The Bible says in verse 24, "And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep." What happens to the ship? The Bible says that the ship was covered. The ship was covered with the waves, and he was asleep. In the book of Mark, the synoptic account of this, the Bible says that the ship was full of water. What happens when a ship is covered with water and a ship is full of water? What happens to it? It sinks, right? That's right. I remember as a teenager, Matthew Lewis, Bill Clear, Chad Grinstead, and I went on a little canoe trip. This was before kayaks got popular, and I had borrowed my Uncle Pete's canoe. And Mr. Clear had a canoe, and his canoe was better than the one I was in. And Matthew and Mr. Clear were in their canoe, and I was in Pete's canoe, which was prone to tip. And at any rate, so we started down the river. We put in at Natalie and started down the river, and we got all the way, we got under the Middle Fork Bridge, and then there's a sewer pipe that runs across the river right there. You can see it off the bridge. And the water was pretty clear, but it was high. It had been raining quite a bit, and we didn't realize exactly how high it was. But when I got to that sewer pipe, the water was up high enough where there was just about that much space between the water and the sewer pipe. And I'm just a kid. I'm 15, 16 years old. I can't remember if I could drive at that time or not. And I remember the currents pushing us toward that, and we'd been fishing some. I had my boat, had all my fishing. You know how it is when you're fishing. You got all your stuff spread out in the canoe. And I remember I'm just kind of floating along, and then I'm trying to decide, what am I going to do? How am I going to get to this, get under this, over this? What are we going to do? And so I really never came up with a plan, and my boat, my canoe, I'd let it straight nose first into that sewer pipe. When it hit the sewer pipe, the current turned the canoe sideways, and then I was sideways parallel with the sewer pipe. And then the current went and sucked my boat right under the water. I'm thinking, oh my Lance, what am I going to do? I got Uncle Pete's canoe, and it's full of water, and it was underwater and actually sunk to the bottom of the river right there. The current was reasonable, but the water was pretty deep, and I'll never forget it. I went in after the canoe, and I've got this mental picture of me. I still see it. I can still see it. I had my eyes open underwater. I had Pete's canoe, and I'm dragging it up on the bottom of the river, and I'm underwater trying to get the canoe out of the water, and I got it. We saved the day. All my fishing stuff went down the river. At any rate, I told you that story because you know what happens to boats when they're full of water? They sink. And the Bible says that at this moment, the boat was covered with waves. At this moment, in the book of Mark, the Bible says the ship was full of water. But you know what's amazing? If you're in the boat, and God has led you in the boat, and you're in the storm, and God has led you into the storm, if you're in a moment where it's uncertain, but to the best of your ability, you want to follow and trust and serve God, I want you to know something. God is a miracle-working God, and we have to have faith in the power of God, because God can keep full boats afloat. And the truth is, what you're dealing with, it might sink you. But I'll tell you something. God has power over what is common and regular, and God can keep full boats afloat. And you think what I'm going through is going to destroy me. Have faith in the power of God. What I'm battling with is going to destroy me. I say, have faith in the power of God. You say, my boat is full. I'm sunk. Not necessarily. God has the ability to keep full boats afloat. Have faith in the power of God. The ship was covered. Look what else the Bible says. In verse number 24, the Bible says, the ship was covered with the white waves, but he was asleep. He was asleep. What's Jesus doing through all this? He's asleep. Is he worried? Nope. Not at all. I'll never forget when that girl was screaming out on the airplane, we're all going to die. And I began to get a little unnerved. What I wanted to do is I wanted to have a conversation with the pilot. I thought if I could go there and talk to the pilot, he could reassure me that everything's fine. You know, these days they won't let you up in front of the, in the cockpit. And they wouldn't let me go talk. I didn't ask, but I knew they wouldn't let me. So I did the second best thing. You know what I began to do? I thought, who on this plane flies all the time? Have you, you may have done this. And I'm looking at this guy beside of me. You could tell this guy flies a lot. He's got a neck pillow and earbuds. And I'm like, this guy, I'm going to watch him. He doesn't seem alarmed. Then I thought, you know, the most experienced flyer on this plane is the stewardess. And I was sitting in the aisle, and I was sitting where I could see a stewardess. She had been, she'd buckled up because the turbulence was pretty tough. And here's what I decided in my heart. I thought, if she gets nervous and scared, and I can see it on her face, then I'll be nervous and scared. But until she looks nervous and scared, I'm just going to be okay. And I kept my eye on her. I kept looking. And through the turbulence, she never had a smirk or a fear. You could tell this was just everyday business for her. And therefore, I stayed calm, even with the girl screaming at the top of her lungs. Here's something that is so valuable. Now, you say my boat's full. The storm is raging. I'm scared. I don't know what might happen. I want you, in light of your circumstances, to take a quick look at Jesus. Is he worried? No. Is he fearful? No. Is he wringing his hands because your situation and your trouble is too big for him? No. Do you know what God is able to do? He's able to rest because he knows it's all under control. You see, when you begin to be afraid of the circumstances of life and how am I going to deal with this? How are we going to get through this? How? And you fill in your blanks. Take one quick glance at Jesus. Is he worried? Is the captain of your soul scared? No. Why? Because he's in control. Have faith in the power of God. Take a quick look at Jesus. The boat may be full, and no doubt the storm is real, but Jesus is okay. Take a quick look at him. He's faithful. He was asleep. I read this story one time about a boat, a ship in a great storm. And someone was very, very concerned about the storm. It was awful. They called up to the deck where the ship was being piloted, and they asked one question. Where's the captain? The captain of that ship was a very trustworthy, honorable person. They said, where's the captain? They were worried about the storm. They said, where's the captain? They gave the answer, the captain is asleep. And the person who called said, then all is well. He went back to sleep in spite of the storm because he knew as long as the captain was asleep and that was okay, everything was fine. Look, I want you to look at Jesus. Do you see him? You say the storm is awful. Yes, it is. It's real. Yes, it is. But is Jesus scared? No. Rest. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Have faith in the power of God. Look what the Bible says in verse 26. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. I love this. Then he arose and rebuked the winds. The first thing he rebuked is the winds. Why do you rebuke the winds? The winds is what makes the sea wild. What makes waves? Wind. And so the first thing that Jesus did is he rebuked the cause of the tempest. He said, wind, you're causing this mess. Stop it. He rebuked the winds. And then he rebuked the waves. You see, it's amazing. You can be on a boat on the ocean, and the wind will stir up, and the waves will get high, and then the wind can just go away, but the waves, they last a while longer, do they not? You know what I mean? The winds and the waves. What did Jesus do? He rebuked the winds. He rebuked the cause of the storm, and then he rebuked the waves, and he settled the sea. Here's something that I want you to know. God has the power to give you victory over the cause and the effect. Now, some people have this idea. I know God will forgive me, for what I did so wrong. I know God will forgive me for my sins. I know if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse from all unrighteousness. I know God will forgive me. But what about the effect of my sin? I'll just tell you, the devil wants, he's okay with you knowing that Jesus will forgive your sin. And if you are okay with knowing that Jesus will forgive you, you know I'm forgiven, but what about all the waves that I've caused? What about all the grief that I've caused? What about all the waves? The devil says, all right, God's forgiven you, but you'll never overcome the effect of your sin. And I want you to see something. Very plainly, the Bible says that God rebuked the winds, the cause, and the effect. He stopped the waves. He stopped the waves. And I want you to know, you may not be able to see how God, once He's forgiven you for your sin, can ever cause the storm of your life to settle. But I'm here to tell you that He can. I'm here to tell you that He can. I know today of people that will stand in pulpits and preach the Word of God who spent time in prison for bad things they've done. I know people today, husbands and wives with children and happy homes who will attend churches who have done the most atrocious things. And they could testify to you, not only did God forgive me my sin, but God calmed the waves and the tempest. He resolved the cause of my sea and the cause of my storm, and He resolved the effect. He's faithful. If you're beating yourself up because of what you're doing and how this is going to affect everything in the future, or you're scared because you know because of what you've done or someone else has done, it's going to never, everything's never going to be the same. It's going to be awful forever and ever and ever. Amen. Just remember this little passage of Scripture. God rebuked the winds and the waves. God rebuked the winds and the waves. What do we need to do? I'm scared. Have faith in the presence of God. Number two, have faith in the power of God. Number three, have faith in the purpose of God. Well, why do you think God allows storms? God allows storms so that we'll grow. God allows storms that we'll know, so that we'll know that we can trust Him. God allows storms to help make us right. Have you ever thought that the storm that you're in, the storm you're afraid of, the storm you're dealing with, may be the very thing that changes your life for the glory of God forever? Have faith in the purpose of God. You see, as we make our way through the storms of life, God gives us confidence in His Word. God gives us confidence in His Word. The Bible says in verse 18, Jesus spoke to His disciples before our story. He says in verse 18, He saw great multitudes about Him. He gave commandment to depart on the other side. What did Jesus say for His disciples to do? Go to the other side. If Jesus says we're going to the other side, guess what's going to happen? We're going to go to the other side. And if you hear from God's Word that you can make it through the storm, if you hear from God's Word that God is faithful, if you hear from God's Word that God can be trusted, if you hear from God's Word any promise, you can take it to the bank, and your troubles will cause you to have faith in God's Word. The purpose of God teaches us to rest in the storm. Over and over you see it in these storm situations that Jesus will actually rebuke the disciples before He rebukes the storm. I love this. When Jesus comes on the scene, when He wakes up, He's like, why are you fearful, you of little faith? The first thing He says to the disciples, y'all don't have to be afraid. He says, you don't have to be afraid. And the whole while, the lightning's flashing and the storm is raging. He says, you don't have to be afraid. You know what God does and what God wants to do? He wants to calm you in the storm. You see, if you're waiting for there to be no storms before you can be happy, you're never going to be happy. If you're waiting for there to be no storms before you'll ever be fearless, you'll never be fearless. If you're waiting for there to be no storms before you can have great faith, you will never have it. And so Jesus says to His disciples, why are you fearful of you little faith? And the storm is raging around. He says, you don't have to be afraid. And the whole time the storm is raging, the boat's full. Because God rebukes His servants first, and then he rebukes the winds and the waves. You see, God wants you to be happy in the storm. God wants you to be fearless in the storm. God wants you to be faithful in the storm. He wants you to know that it's not the storm or the absence of the storm that gives you peace. Storms cause us to marvel in our wonderful Savior. Look at the Bible says, I love the conclusion of this passage, verse number 27. The men marveled, saying, you see it? The men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? What happened? The end product was all those boys on the boat. They said, hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah, what a Savior. They learned to trust the Lord. Can you imagine what courage in the years to come as they began to, as they started the church as the apostles? Can you imagine the courage that this moment on this ship and the storm gave them? They learned to marvel in the Lord Jesus. Have faith in the purpose of God. You see, we don't have to be afraid. Have faith in the presence of God, the power of God, the purpose of God. You'll find God faithful. I love this story. When you're studying about ships and storms, you can't help but come up on stories about shipping and ship's captains. And so here's one to conclude the message. There was a man, he was a very accomplished sailor on a ship, and his wife decided to join him on a journey. Well, a storm was raging horribly, and the ship, you know, you have to say it was tossed to and fro. This great ship was tossed to and fro, and honestly, the captain's wife was scared to death. She was at the helm with her husband, and all the people that helped him pilot the ship were there present, and she couldn't help but notice the calm and resolve that was on her husband's face. And she was asking him, she said, look, honey, I'm scared to death. I'm scared to death. How do you stay so calm? Her husband reached above the helm, and there was a sword hanging on the wall, and he grabbed the sword and pulled it out of its sheath. It was razor sharp. He took the sword and he set it right on her shoulder, next to her throat. And he looked at his wife and he said, are you afraid? She just chuckled. She said, well, no, I'm not afraid at all. He said, well, this sword, it could cut off your head. It could cut your throat and you could die. This sword, why aren't you afraid? She just chuckled. She said, because the sword is in the hands of my loving husband. I'm not afraid of that. He put his sword back and looked at his wife. He said, I'm not afraid of the storm either, because it's in the hands of my faithful God. I'm just going to trust him. I'm going to trust him. I have no reason to fear. And so I've said all that to say this. If you're battling with fear, you're battling with fear because of family issues, you're battling with fear because of financial issues, you're battling with fear because of, you fill in the blank, political concerns, gas prices, wars and rumors of wars. You're battling with fear today. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. God's faithful. God's faithful. We can rest. We can rest in the most troubling times, because even if our greatest fears come to pass, God's grace is sufficient. Just trust him. Trust him. He's with you. Have faith in his presence. He's all-powerful. Have faith in his power. And his design for our lives, there's no trouble without purpose. Have faith in his purpose. God wants to prove himself to you, and he will. Put your trust in him.